Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to episode 13 of All American Legacy. Today, I think we find out the truth about Corey James. Plus, we have a very special guest, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, we are back after a couple week hiatus. Woo! So excited to be here for episode 13 of All American. I'm your host, Mina Wahab, and we have a very special guest in studio that we're going to get to in just a second, but first, to my left...
Hey, AfterBuzz fam, it's your girl, Chris. We've missed you.
What's up, guys? Angelo Garcia, glad to be back.
It's Sierra Chanel, and I've missed you guys oh so much.
And we have Breezy, a.k.a. Coop from All American.
What's up, AfterBuzz?
How are you feeling today?
I'm good.
Well, thanks so much for making it out here. We're just going to cover the episode tonight. We're going to talk about the truth about Corey James, and then we're going to talk about everything that happened in this week's episode, from the drama that happens every single week to the big football game to Corey James showing up at the end to the subplots with the mom and her new love interest.
Nerbo, and your scheming.
And everything else going on. It's a really, really important episode. We only have 3 episodes left.
Yes.
So... let's get right into it. What were your overall thoughts of this week's episode?
I have my conspiracy theory.
Yes,
I'm not even
going
to get involved in it.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
No, I'm not even involved in it. All right, I'll say it.
He's crazy.
Okay, no, I'll say it. Billy Baker is Corey James. That's what I got from this episode, and I'm sticking with it. And that man at the end was not Corey James.
Who was it?
Please tell us.
I don't know. It's someone that knows what's going on.
I don't like that we have predictions and we have someone to be like, she's like, yeah.
Breezy's just going to slam the hammer. I loved having you behind the scenes with us watching it because anytime Angelo had a conspiracy theory,
she did not do
it. She's like, that doesn't make sense.
He completely disregarded the fact that. numerous times they said that was his father. He still doesn't believe
it. That's why everyone wants to believe. You gotta take the twists and turns. I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you.
You gotta take the twists and turns.
He's a Gemini, everybody.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. The two sides.
I'm trying to think of my
Corey
overall
James and
thoughts.
Not Corey James.
I'm trying to think. I was really happy with Mrs. Baker in this episode.
Yes,
it was
Mrs. Baker.
The new man.
Yes. I loved it. Now, the episode, it was cool. It was really chill. I mean, there were some things that I thought were bad but ended up good. So I guess it kind of tricked us a little bit. We
Twist
did.
Turns,
we were definitely
like
talking
said.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you feel the main focus of this week's episode was?
Ooh, oh, man. Obviously finding who influenced you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like... You really want me to say?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to hear. I want to hear.
No, you go ahead. I'll let you go.
I was just going to say, like, realizing who's actually important in your life. And, I mean, now I can't even think about what I want to know because...
No, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
No, okay. You were not.
That's not what he was going to say. There was a twist and turn
somewhere. Yeah, the main focus was to throw us over here. So, next episode, we're not expecting over here.
I'm worried about... Okay.
So we're not expecting Billy Baker to be Corey James.
No. Okay, so... Yeah, no.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
I'm here. I got you.
You're not,
I got you.
We're expecting... Everything looks fine. Like, oh... Corey James is real. He's in town. But then next episode, boom, we're over here.
That's I know. Not and Sean right. isn't really dead either. He's alive somewhere.
Okay.
He's
here.
No.
I will say, I don't want to get into predictions, but I am worried for Coop. Yes. Whatever's going to happen to Coop.
Yo, that was mad crazy.
I feel like everybody's always worried about Coop.
I literally have an anxiety attack about Coop every episode. I'm like, I'm concerned.
We're going to talk about Coop later on in the show, but first we're going to talk about Spencer's mom, because was one of the main focuses in the beginning. She's taking a new class. It's urban planning. And we figure out why she wants to do urban planning, and it's such a beautiful reason. She wants to improve Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. She's not just taking it as an elective course. She's taking it because she wants to either build playgrounds, parks, create a community atmosphere. Mm-hmm. What did you think about her presence in the classroom and her desire to create change for the community of Crenshaw?
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
She's very passionate. Like,
yeah. Isn't she? Yeah, you can tell. She's probably passionate in real life, too, huh? I don't know. I feel like it's so natural for her.
She is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, I just love her and her character, honestly. But really, I just really want to see this love interest go down.
I know. She, like, is just such an amazing person. It's so cool to see her taking time on herself and, like, investing in herself and really pursuing the things that she's passionate about. And I think that's what was so exciting about that whole segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like how Spencer's, like, acknowledging it, too. He's like, oh, like, you're going to change the world. Like, that's cool to see her, like, in her own thing.
He was all about college till she came home with a new friend. So.
Yeah. And she needs more storyline on the show, too. So that's good. She's doing something else.
What do you think watching Spencer's mom on screen?
I think it's good for her. I think, you know, just to have someone else in her life. I mean, she's been dealing with so much with the father leaving and then raising the kids. And, you know, you have a son who is completely disturbed by all of the events. You know what I mean? So just being a single mom, trying to hold the household together, I think that, you know, for her to find interest in something like, you know, rebuilding and investing in community and on a bonus, you get a cute guy that's going to potentially help you out. I think it's, you know, I think it's good.
Cute.
It's good for her.
He was cute.
He wasn't Corey James, by the way. Just to
I don't know who Corey James is. We're not even doing this.
I just recognize him all show, guys.
I love how the second they both were in the same room, we were like, they're dating.
You knew before us. Like, that's it. Like,
the chemistry was translated well.
It was.
I could feel it. Yeah. You felt that.
Yes. Yeah, I knew when he looked at her at the end, but you knew right when they put the camera on.
It's time for her to have someone in her life. It is time.
But is it time for this guy?
Like,
we don't even know him.
She's
already at Spencer's house.
That's true.
I think he was just being a gentleman.
That's true. Older men know what they want.
But he went into the house.
I need an older man.
Like, if he would have just dropped her off at the house and left.
I mean, but it's not like you're 16. You're allowed to come in.
Yeah.
When you're over 40 or 30, you can come in. Yeah, so.
Who gets coffee at night, though? That's what I want to know.
A lot of people.
Yeah,
I just got coffee. You're just talking about.
A lot of people get coffee at night. But I think, you know, it's beyond the stage of, oh, don't come in.
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah,
but does he know she has kids?
He knows now.
Oh. Okay. No, I get what you guys are saying.
But why did they catch him listening into their conversation, though? Like, that has to translate into a next episode.
That's Corey James. I'm just
I think it just, like, kind of shows that maybe he isn't ready to fully be in this relationship. Or, like,
or
maybe
he knows something.
Yeah, or he knows something.
Oh, maybe he would.
Maybe he's friends.
Do you think the world is that small where it could be interconnected, where he would know who that is? Because the way
when you're in the hood, it's small.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
The way they set it up, too, I thought this was really interesting. When he was eavesdropping and he could hear the conversation between Spencer's mom and Spencer, of Spencer saying he was about to make it to the NFL, his ears kind of perked up a little bit. He's like, I know who they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, that makes sense. That's how I interpreted it. Mm. Is there something you know that we don't know?
No, I think it's just a new relationship. I don't think there's... I didn't get the feeling that there was any, like, hidden agenda or, you know, some... boatload of
conspiracy.
I think it's exactly what we saw. Teaching coffee
a little more than teaching
we are always looking for a hidden agenda.
I'm sitting back here like, it's amazing what people take from television.
For whatever reason, I don't think any of us have taken anything for face value except for Chris here.
I know. All my predictions have been correct.
The rest of us are like, there's got to be something beyond this veil.
Because they're not going to toss it to us for us to figure it out, right? Am I wrong? I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong, but I'm sticking with
it. I love that you're standing on it.
Anyways, moving on. So there is a big game, and everything is kind of centered upon this big game. There's always a big game every episode, but this one, for whatever reason, is the biggest so far because it determines a lot. And it's the one game where we see all these different people coming together. The grandfather, Corey James, the mom. It's just a compilation of everyone. And that's how we know it's going to be a huge, huge deal, is once we see all these people showing up. Before the game, though, Spencer sits with Jordan, and they are watching the footage of his father, and that's when the whole topic of conversation comes up. That's my father. He was a great NFL player. I want to discover more about my father, even though I put this issue to rest. And that's when he goes to his mom and they have the conversation. What do we think about how that whole story arc played out, with him wanting to know about his dad and then him finally seeing his dad at the very end of the show, staring at him, watching him play, which is what he's always wanted?
I think it's just, like, a long time coming. Like, at the end, the dad clearly was like, it's time for me to have a relationship with my son. Spencer, throughout the whole episode, throughout this whole season, it's just been like, when are we going to get to the bottom of this? Like, when am I going to get the answers that I need? Mm-hmm. And I think that his mom is kind of like, I mean, like, I want to get this off my chest, too.
She didn't. Which I didn't like, kind of. I guess he's kind of young, kind of grown folks' business, and you learn later, but yeah. I feel like she should have told him something. No, in high school, your parents didn't tell you anything.
He's like 17.
He's still in high school, you know? I feel like they don't really tell you what's going on until later in life, where you understand grown folks' business. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I kind of didn't like how she kind of shut him down about it.
And he still doesn't know what's going on. And even at the very end, we see that Corey James says, should I tell him? I won't tell him the truth.
Yeah, I won't tell him the truth.
Don't worry.
Like, so, and you know the truth, right?
What?
Yeah. You know what's going on.
I don't know anything. And I'm sticking with it.
I think it's hard, though.
As a parent, I think it's hard. I respect the way Grace handles that situation. Because that's hard. I mean, it's a boy. You know what I mean? I don't know. She is a single parent. So this is something it's going to disrupt her whole household more than it's already been. You know what I mean? So I think she's just trying to tread light.
Yeah. And he is affected by it. And he could be more affected by it if he finds out what really happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then it's like, you know, her biggest thing for him is just for him to, you know, be a star athlete, get good grades, you know, finish school. Like, you don't want to, you know, when you can't tell kids certain things because it throws us all off. Or just anybody. You know what I mean? Especially when you have a job to do.
And yeah.
I think she just wants to, you know, secure that, his focus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think a child should ever have a say in whether or not he has a relationship with his father if he is under the age of 18?
Absolutely. Living with
his... Okay. So if the decision was made for him by his mother, I'm not saying this is what happened, but if that were the case, if this was something that was a decision made by the mom and not by the father, do you think she would be in the wrong, even if she had good intentions when she did it?
I still think you should find a way to make it work for the child's sake, regardless of who was right and who was wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like
it's tough. It's tough.
It is.
When you really think about it.
But at the end of the day, that's your father.
The child doesn't know as much about the father as the mother does. And the mother might think she knows what's best for the family. So whose responsibility is it?
I think we can't really get a real answer on that because we're basing this whole thing off of personal emotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if a couple splits up, it's like, this person feels that way, this person feels that way. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, but where's the... There is no middle when there's still bitterness or whatever. So, yeah. I don't know. I think it's unfair either way, you know, and when you have a grown kid like that, I mean, come on, he's not stupid. We know that.
He's going to go looking for answers eventually.
Exactly. So, I think when you see how much it begins to deteriorate your child...
Yeah.
You really just gotta say fuck it.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
What do we think happened between the two of them? Do we think that there's a lot being hidden in the sense that this whole time Spencer's dad has been portrayed as this man who abandoned his child, someone who just kind of left him in the dark, left him in the dust, and left. And now we're figuring out that there is an alternate truth.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative facts. There's an alternate truth that's being shielded from him, and we're kind of getting the notion that there's more to this than meets the eye, that maybe the mom did something wrong. Yeah. Maybe the mom cheated. Maybe something else happened.
I think she cheated.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, what else would be so tragic and terrible?
Maybe that's not his kid. No, I'm not even going back to my original theory, but maybe...
You are.
No, no, no. Maybe Spencer's not his kid.
That's a really good prediction. Yeah. I definitely agree that that could
but
be...
But he says he needs... It gets time for him to have a relationship with his son.
Yeah, that's what I said. He said son, so it's his. I think it's his.
And he called him son when he walked in.
Yeah, maybe, so that really just scratches your whole theory. It scratches the whole thing.
Chill, bro.
But I think that, you know, couples go through divorces and separations all the time, and they never really want to tell the child.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Like the real truth behind it.
Daddy's off for work for years.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I don't know. It could be anything. I don't know who did what, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think that she probably did something bad. I don't know if it was cheated, but I think she.
Why do you think her? She's so sweet.
Because he said something, I won't tell her the truth. I don't know how he said, I won't tell him the truth. Yeah. I feel like she did something,
but
and that's why
he left. I think Billy Baker also has a part to play in this, because I don't think Billy Baker would do this grand gesture and this huge favor for her, taking her kid into his home.
Going out his way.
Going out of his way to coach him, if he wasn't responsible for Corey James not getting into the NFL.
It's like
somehow.
Guilt.
Yeah.
Guilt.
Somehow.
He was in the NFL.
And the mom wouldn't hide it from Spencer. If you know what I mean? If the father did something wrong, she probably would tell Spencer already. But if she did something, she's probably trying to keep it away from him because she's around Spencer
more. I just feel like this show is always teaching us different lessons. And this is like the perfect opportunity to show that, you know, maybe if someone cheats, they're not a terrible person, you know.
I hate you.
I'm not
I think that's what this episode was trying to teach us. If you cheat.
If you cheat, you can have that person.
Like, we love Spencer's mom, you know, and... It would be really interesting to see if she did do something that catastrophic and we still, do we love her still or what's the deal?
I mean, cheating's not a big enough thing to leave your kids. Like, he could still be around.
Oh, to leave the kids and never come back.
Yeah.
It just depends on what emotional state you're in.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
We really can't even say.
That's true.
Everybody's different, case by case. time for us to ask the bigger question here.
Ooh.
Because one of the biggest questions that was asked in this week's episode was, who influenced you the most?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the subject of the essay for every one of the students who was taking that class, from Layla, who mentioned her mom, to Spencer, who mentioned, who actually had to change his answer because he failed, so he had to change it.
Prime time.
And he had a beautiful answer afterwards where he said, it's not necessarily who influences you, it's what influences you. And it was the absence of his father that gave him the momentum he needed to make a change in his life and to not just be another statistic or another stereotype, and to break out of whatever it was he was categorized as, because he's constantly facing the odds and going against the grain and... you know, trying to have a better life for him and his family. And he's always, like, torn between caring for his family and being a little selfish and doing what he needs to do to survive and to excel and to really meet his full potential. So I want to ask Breezy, what was the biggest influence in your life, or who was the biggest influence in your life?
I think my biggest influences were just everything that I grew up seeing. It was kind of like a reverse. Like, I grew up seeing what I didn't want to do, what I didn't want to be. You know what I mean? Of course, my mother, you know, she was someone that I watched, and I just watched her be a single parent. And, you know, just the strength, you know, that she had, and my grandparents. But as far as, like, I feel like, you know, when we're growing up as teenagers, high school is, like, the most pivotal moment, you know, in our lives. It's that point where we figure out, who are we? Who are we going to be? What do we want to be? Are we going to drink? Are we going to do drugs? Are we going to try cigarettes? What are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, going through that, I was around a bunch of stuff. I was like, I don't want to do that. No, don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, when you choose something, you got to do it for the rest of your life, probably.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you did drugs in high school, you're probably still playing with drugs.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to be a dental assistant. I don't want to be this. I just wanted to do what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. So I just kind of was like, everything was so like by the book. Mm-hmm. And I just was not with the book
at all.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
So
good.
That's kind of how it was for me.
How did you get the momentum to pursue something that only a few people are successful at? An industry that's so cutthroat. You do music, you do acting, you rap. how did you go against the grain in that sense and pursue something and keep at it despite, I'm sure you faced a lot of rejection because everyone does in this industry. How did you keep going?
I can't say that I've, like, faced a lot of rejection. I can't. Yeah, very. You know, a lot of people are very fearful. Confidence isn't really at an all-time high these days, and neither is self-esteem. You know what I'm saying? But for me, it's always been, like, in the forefront. Like, I know what I want to do. I knew me. You know what I mean? I was never the type to just, you know, follow a crowd or, you know what I mean? I just did what I wanted to do, and I feel like everything in my life came together the way it was supposed to. So I think, you know, people's lack of confidence and drive and ambition is what fueled me. Like, why are you not doing it? You know what I'm saying? Or too many people around you not doing nothing. I'm going to do something. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? And to see someone else doing it, I can do that. Who's that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I that's just how I felt. You know, I seen a lot of things. It's like, I know I could do that, so I'm going to do it. Yeah. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. Did you ever see someone who looked like you on screen or in your industry that made you think, huh, like, I could be like that?
I never thought like that.
Okay.
That wasn't my thought process. It was more so, you know, just doing the right thing. My focus was not never to do one thing. It was to do the right thing.
Yeah.
For me, I wanted to do the right thing. And I feel like, you know, I'm a spiritual person. So I feel like, you know, whatever's meant for me going to happen. I didn't know I was going to be doing this. I wasn't, you know, chasing this thing, you know, my entire life. I just wanted to be happy and do what made me happy. Because we surrounded by a lot of people who are unhappy and doing shit they don't want to do. You know what I'm saying? And that probably starts with our parents. You know what I'm saying? You don't really want to go to work. You really want to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
so with me, I just wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I was determined to make a way doing what I wanted. You know.
Yeah.
In order to, you know, secure the most important thing to me, which was my happiness.
And I think that's, like, the biggest problem nowadays. People want the road paved out for them. Like you're saying, like, who did you follow? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she just went for it. Like, people are scared of rejection and don't want to get out there and see what happens. People want to follow a paved road. That's what, like, I respect that, just going out and just doing it.
And I definitely understood at a young age, I'm an acquired taste. I'm not for everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't have to be.
Yeah, and that's, you don't have to be.
So, you know, but it'll be a few that's going, you know.
Yeah. You know, we hear you.
Yeah, we gonna do it like that. So, you know, that's just how I felt. And I encourage everybody to just, you know, just do you. It's like people get so caught up in where we are, but there is a whole world. I tell myself this every day. There is a whole world. Like, we're just in Los Angeles. There is a whole world. I was on my live the other day with a guy from, I want to say the Ukraine. And I'm just accepting, you know, just to talk to people or whatever, connecting with him. And he's like, he just works at Burger King. But, like, you know, he was fine. He's like, cool. But I'm like, damn, you know, there's a whole world out here. Like, don't get so caught up in what you see around you, because at any given moment, you could be removed from your situation and placed somewhere else.
Exactly.
You sound a lot like your character in the show. Coop seems like your personality. That's crazy how we kind of play, or you guys, a lot of actors play who they are in real life.
You know, for me, I feel like that's been so coincidental for me in the roles that I've been chosen for, because when I read the script and I read the, you know, breakdown of the character, a lot of it is like me. When I read Frida Gatz for Empire, I was like, I looked at my mom like, what?
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? And she read it and she was like,
that's insane.
Like, we were really, like, in awe. Like, just the storyline in its totality was, you know, things that I went through, and you know, it was like the 16-year-old Breezy. It was like me reliving, you know, my life. And, you know, Coop, same thing. It took me back to Breezy in high school. And I just got another script, and I just read it tonight, and I'm just like, what is God trying to say to me? Because this stuff is too coincidental.
Wow, that's awesome. You were supposed to be here. That's
Really. Does it make it easier, like, playing those parts when, like, you can relate to it so much?
For me, I'm not even worried about that. I'm really worried about what God is trying to tell me, because the stuff is so relatable. It's like,
It's the message getting
things that I'm thinking about, things that I'm going through, issues that I'm dealing with, here they are on paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's making me look at them like in a third party sense. Like,
wow, yeah.
Like the message getting conveyed to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So crazy.
It's crazy.
I had to say that because I just had that experience tonight before I came up here. Like,
yeah.
You know. But to get into character, yeah, just like, you know, I just put myself back in that, you know, that state of mind. And you know, not too much about me has changed. I feel like I'm a very, you know, compassionate person. And when it comes to people, I love people. I always have. And I'm able to adjust to any climate. So whoever's going through whatever, I can be there for whoever. I can help in whatever situation. So I feel like Coop is definitely that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So would you scheme like Coop is scheming in real life?
I would.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I literally said when Coop started scheming, I said, I probably would do the same thing. If somebody killed my best friend, I would try and infiltrate the system.
So you had
and
to try, yeah, sound it out.
Infiltrate the system and try to get down to the bottom and try to probably try to fix it too. Cause like, that's my personality too. Like, you're not.
We
about
fought
to.
Over that.
Yeah, we did. But I was like, no. I would do that too.
One of my favorite scenes in this week's episode was when you're talking to the newcomer of the gang, and he's talking about how when he was doing time, he read a lot. You said, what did you read? I read a lot of Greek mythology. You know, like the Trojan horse, where they decide to build a wooden horse and then ruin everything from the inside. So they come on the inside and then they just try to, like, destroy an entire army. But listen up, Coop. The Greeks weren't that smart. They weren't as smart as they thought they were. And that's some serious foreshadowing there, because it shows that they're really on to what you're doing. And
he is at least.
That's when the worry level went out the roof. I was like, Coop, get out.
Coop, get out.
That he's on to what you're doing. And you have this amazing way to portray fear with your facial expressions, where you just look like you're... It's like this really amazing performance where you're trying to keep your composure, but you also look like a deer in headlights. Like, oh, shoot, they're on to me. How do you do that? Because your eyes are... We can't see your eyes right now, but your eyes are so... they're so expressive on the show, and you're just like, oh, my God, what's going to happen?
I honestly don't know. And if you want me to be 100% honest, I've been getting in trouble my whole life about my facial expressions.
Same.
Because they're never really what you think they are.
Right.
Like, you could be thinking I'm mugging and I'm really just chilling. I just had a conversation the other day. I'm like, this is like I'm chilling. But it's like, nah, you was looking at me like that. You know, I don't know. But to me, it's mental. I feel it, you know, I feel it emotionally and whatever. If it's like, whatever my face does, that's just...
Yeah, what it's does. Natural.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you noticed a lot of growth with Coop's character on the show? What do you think her arc has been from episode 1 until episode 13? What type of growth has she experienced?
I don't think we've necessarily seen Coop's arc yet. I don't think so. I mean, it kind of got... We seen a different side of her when she was, you know, like, shut out by her mom early on. But then we seen her really, you know, just say F it and, you know, roll with Tyrone and develop just this aggression and this masculinity that, you know, she's gonna do what she gotta do. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. She gotta get it how she live at this point, because... You know, she's one woman for herself right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think we've seen another turn again where she was brought back, you know, by her father and shut out again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that was kind of like, you know, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Now it's whatever. Like. Yeah.
Like, it's already happened so many times.
Like, yeah, like, what? It's almost like, what else is left for me to do?
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever I got to do. Mm-hmm. And whatever happened because of that is what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we still got a lot more to see with Coop. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think it's you know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of been a struggle for her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There hasn't necessarily been an arc to me.
Yeah.
My writers might say something different. But, you know, to me, I think we've just... we've actually, you know, just explored who this girl is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And right now we're seeing what extent is she willing to go, you know, to just stand on her own two feet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How far is she willing to go?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, what I love the most about this show is that no one is a stereotype. You don't just have a jock. You don't just have someone from the inner city. There's so much more
depth.
There's so much more depth. There's a lot of complexity when it comes to the characters. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to represent the LGBT community as a woman of color playing the role of Coop?
Well, I know our whole team, you know, as a whole, and including our writers and our showrunner, and Katie, like, it was very important for us to portray each and every one of these characters in the best light. I think that the generation in which we target, in which we are as a cast on screen, is a critical time for them right now. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? With depression and, mm-hmm. you know, a number of things. And we really just wanted it to be true to life. And I know that anytime I've had to play a lesbian character, you know, I want to make sure that it is real. And, mm-hmm. you know, when we see most LGBT people portrayed on television, it's mostly driven by sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sex, 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 like just gay, gay. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's like, that's not all there is to life. They are human beings. Let's peel back some of these layers. Let's get to know.
Normalize them.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's do that. So with Coop, you're not just, do not take a high schooler to the extreme with whatever you're doing, whether it's drug abuse, whether it's, you know what I'm saying? Because these are still children. They're still growing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So let's show what real life is like. What do they actually deal with? I mean, mm-hmm. we see these things all the time. So for me, it's just important because I'm not going to display nothing but accuracy.
Yeah.
I'm not. And respectfully, the people I work with, respect that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think to be a black woman portraying this is just, you know, it's amazing. I mean, it's just, this whole show, it sheds a, you know, it has like a bird's eye view on all of these lives.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It gives the younger generation something to relate to. And it also gives, you know, the parents who are raising these teens a bird's eye view on what their child may potentially be going through once they leave their house in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, when we were in high school, when we get through them doors, it's whatever.
Yeah. It's a free-for-all.
Yeah, it's like, 100%. As soon as we get on the school bus, yo, you want a cigarette?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it was like. So it's good to, you know, so, you know, parents know that. You know what I mean? So the portrayal had to be real because this audience is grand.
Yeah.
This is not just, you know, everyone's watching this.
Yeah.
Grandparents, parents, cousins, you know.
Yeah.
I have kids come to me all the time like, oh, our family, we just sit together and we watch. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely incorporates and translates well with everyone. Mm-hmm. So we got to be on top of what we're portraying.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, a lot of people, most parents are so comfortable just sending their kids to school like, oh, okay, you got your lunch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you don't.
Yeah, it's a little tougher.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't see the stresses of that world. High mm-hmm. school is a big deal. Like,
When you were in high school, do you feel like you had shows or movies that kind of showed those accurate representations of people in the LGBT community or being an African-American female or anything like that?
No, I think that when I was, I you know what, that's also like depends on who you ask because, you know, I was a goofball. So when I came home from high school, I'm watching My Brother and Me, Tia and Tamara.
Yeah.
I'm watching all that. You know, Kenan and Kel.
Like,
we're watching Clarissa Good Explains Murder. It
yeah.
All.
Yeah. I was watching The Tyra Show at night, too.
What, remember Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're watching that type of stuff.
I can't even watch that.
I think that, you know, our high school days were just like, it was really fun. I mean, there were kids who kind of, you know, fell by the waistline with, you know, the depression and drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. But for the most part, it was a really good time for me.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, no, I don't recall
seeing
anything of that nature on television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what stood out to me, like, when we first started the show. That was so amazing, is the positive representation of so many different types of people.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I didn't have that when
I think
was
the content of television has drastically changed since high school.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like the generations have changed too. Like a lot of kids are doing way like different stuff than back in the day, you know?
And I think back in the day, we were still
scared of our parents.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So kids these days, they're like...
Yeah, they're just
fearless.
They're all over the place. They finally have a voice now.
Yeah,
and
they do.
I love how All-American perfectly...
Back in the day, it was like 10 years ago.
...sums everything up together. But yeah, before we wrap out, we have time for like one more question or anything that you want to plug before we wrap up. Any new projects coming up for you? Because I know you have a song that you're really excited about.
No. Yeah. I released a project called The Girl. And I did that because, you know, being introduced on Empire was a musically driven character. And people were like, you know, couldn't really determine whether I did one or the other. You know, but I did it. The music came first. You know what I'm saying? So I just felt the need to just, you know what I mean, give them a little bit of myself. I got a new project I just finished now, about to release pretty soon.
Cool.
Very, very cool. Can you say anything about it?
It's called Full Circle. It's very conceptual. It's like the full circle of a relationship.
Nice.
And so it's just a nice vibe. I think it's an easy listen.
Yeah.
And you know, very relatable. I mean, we've all been in relationships, and it was just a point in my life where, you know, that was my outlet. Working so much, you know, I just come home. I don't necessarily have time to talk to people all the time, and not that I really like to. You know what I mean? I just it's so much easier to just put in the music because it doesn't talk back or argue with you. It's just
like, you punching back,
right? Right. But you also can, you know, play it back later and just reflect.
Yeah,
I guess like writing in a diary if you want to go back and read and. You know, helps you. You know, sometimes it helps when you write things down.
Yeah. Look back on it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all this with us. We loved your insight. We're so excited to see
I loved you guys' insights. His conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories.
And you gotta tell the writers.
You really have to do your conspiracy theories every show. You should make that a thing.
This is gonna be our new special segment.
It should be.
Yes.
And I want his name real big.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories.
But we want to always refer back to you and have you either say that the conspiracy theory is correct or totally.
Yes.
Totally right. We need it.
And then your comeback has to be, I know I'm wrong, but I'm sticking with it.
Exactly.
That would be nice.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Before we wrap out, any last questions? Any last, like, final thoughts?
Say it with your mouth.
Final thoughts. I'm worried for Coop. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that
something
that,
bad
that,
is going to happen.
I was worried for Coop, and then she said that we're not done seeing Coop. So I'm
like,
not maybe
so she lives. Injured. She lives.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
You should be worried about Spencer. He the one got a gun put in his face for the next episode.
Yeah,
you've seen that.
But he's not going to die.
They wouldn't predict that if it was, you know what I mean?
The real Spencer James.
There's the twists and turns.
The real Spencer James is alive and well, and I am so looking forward to next week's episode. Before we wrap out, where can we find you?
You'll find me at the Chris Exclusive on Instagram, guys.
You can find me on Instagram at Angelo Garcia with 3 A's, guys.
You can find me at Sierra Chanel on literally every single social media platform.
And Breezy, where can everyone find you?
Oh, you can find me on every social media platform. Breezy Official, BREZ Official. Yep. That's
Thank
it.
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a blast. Please come back again.
Thank you. I'll be back tomorrow.
Perfect. I'm Mina Wahab, and you can catch me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic. Thank you so much for tuning in. Leave your comments below on who influenced you the most. Thanks so much, guys.
See you guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Check out that new Tatiana remix.
Yes.
You did.
Founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.